I want to say thank you to everyone for today. That was so much fun, and it was a real blessing to Pastor Ed and I. We felt loved for all the years that we didn't. No, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, thank goodness we have God's love for those years, right? Yes. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to have some fun tonight. We're going to keep talking about faith. Say amen. Amen. Come on, come alive now, all right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, let's just pray over the word. Father, in the name of Jesus, I love you. I thank you for your word. And Father, I thank you for a revelation knowledge that flows through this place. Holy Spirit, speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Patriots won today. Pretty cool, huh? You know, I don't remember, but they won. That's good. 38-15. You know, I don't know if any of you watch college football at all, but I was watching the Alabama-Tennessee game yesterday. And I'm an Alabama fan, and Tennessee won, and that was okay, you know. But the thing was, I was watching this game, and they were playing in Tennessee. And they're packed out. I mean, they love their teams like we like the Patriots. If you don't watch college football is crazy. And it looked like Alabama was going to win. And the cameras were scanning the crowd. And I'm telling you, it reminded me of Patriot fans when they think they're going to lose. I mean, if you could have seen these faces, you would have thought the end of the world was going to... I felt so bad for the Tennessee fans that I was kind of didn't feel bad that they won because it didn't look like they were going to win. But they were like this, and like then they were so, every one of them, it was like you could see it all over them that you just felt so bad, you know, like... Even though I was an Alabama, I am an Alabama fan, it didn't bother me that Tennessee won because I felt so bad for those fans. But they ended up winning, so I felt happy for them, amen? But aren't you glad that we're on the winning team? We're winners, we're victors, we triumph always. But sometimes it looks like we're going to lose. Sometimes when we're walking by faith, you feel that tension. You feel that you're going through that. And probably, God probably looks at our faces the way I was looking at those Tennessee fans and wanting to say, tell us, chill out. I'm already taking care of it. You already have the victory. Amen? Anyhow, I'm not preaching on that, but I just thought I'd share that. Hallelujah. Tonight we're going to talk about I make the difference with my faith. Can you say that with me tonight? I make the difference with my faith. Say my faith. We're going to talk about my faith tonight and the importance of my faith. Amen? I make the difference in situations with my faith. I make the difference in my finances with my faith. I make the difference in my family with my faith. I make the difference in my church with my faith. We're going to talk about your faith, not something that just, you know, we've all been given that measure of faith, but this is our faith. We do something with our faith. We've been given faith, and we do something with it. And we're going to show you that in the Word, how things happened with people's faith. Let's look at Luke chapter 18, 1 through 4, because it's so important. You know, people hear it, they talk about it, they all the mechanics of it, you know, believe it, confess it, do it. No, no, no. Faith is the currency of heaven, and faith brings the promises into manifestation, the promises of God, and faith is the only thing that will do that. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So think about this. If you're not operating in faith, are you pleasing God? Got quiet. Let's look at a few scriptures here. Luke chapter 18, 1 through 4. Well, we're going to look at a few stories in the Bible. In verse 1, it says, "Then he spoke a parable to them," talking about Jesus, "that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." Remember we talked about losing heart? "Be not weary," and you will reap. But it says, men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man," I'm going to look up there because this skipped a scripture. Verse 5. You got verse 5 up there? Did I tell you verse 5? Luke 18, 4 and then 5. It's coming, right? Can you guys get it? I'm sorry. It might have been my mistake. I thought I sent the whole portion there. Got it? Okay. I'm just going to skip to verse 6, okay? They'll get it. You guys go back and read verse 5, okay? It says, "And he went out for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man." In verse 6 it said, "Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Jesus is talking here. And he said, "Nevertheless, when I come, will I find faith on the earth?" God is always looking for faith. Faith is a currency. It's in the spirit. God knows when he sees faith. He talks. As I was going through all of the scriptures in the New Testament and going through the Gospels, I was thinking, Jesus, you talked about faith all the time. And for us to not think it's that important, we have to learn to walk by faith if we're gonna receive the promises of God, if we're gonna receive the power of God, if we're gonna do great and mighty things for God. Amen. It's one thing to understand the mechanics of faith. We know how to ask. We know how to believe. We know how to confess. Those are mechanics. But it's another thing to walk faith out. Amen? That's a totally different thing when you're walking faith out, when you're believing God and you're feeling the pressure or the circumstances surrounding you. It's a whole other thing. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourself." So basically, without faith, you can't even get saved. Faith connects us to what Jesus did on the cross. It made the difference when Jesus went to the cross, didn't it? Amen. And so it says, faith. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves." So you can't get saved without faith. Faith connects us to what Jesus did on the cross. Now let's look at Luke 7:44. So we saw that Jesus said here, "When I come, will I find faith on the earth? Will I find faith on the earth?" And you connect that with, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's telling you, God's talking to us. He's saying, faith pleases me. Faith is what I'm looking to find. Now, let's look at the different times Jesus talks about faith. There's so many times. I don't have them all, of course. We'd be here forever. But Luke chapter 7, verses 44, starting with verse 44, it says, Jesus is talking. It says, "Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And then he said to the woman, my faith. He said, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. See, your faith saved you. Your faith in God, your faith in the cross, when somebody told you about Jesus. Faith is the plug that plugs into the power source. And every single one of us have to plug into it. She plugged into the power source of forgiveness, and it brought her salvation. Her faith believed in God. She was in that place, and she was washing Jesus' feet. She was in love with Jesus. And everybody was looking at her, and they didn't think she was doing anything good. But Jesus saw her faith. He saw her faith. Faith is a substance, and Jesus sees our faith. Amen? Let's look at Luke 8:43 through 48. It says, now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. So she spent all her money. You know what? You can have all the money in the world, but if you're dying, it's not going to help you, is it? So it says she spent all her money on physicians. She could not be healed by any. Came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? So she pressed in. She touched the border of Jesus' garment. And immediately, now listen to this. She spent all her money on physicians. All her livelihood, everything. She did everything she knew to do. But the minute she touched the robe of Jesus, it says immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? He felt something. Jesus knew where faith was. When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitudes are thronging and press you, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me. See, faith plugs into the power source. And when you plug in a plug in the wall, that power comes into whatever it is. When we plug in to Jesus, when we plug into faith, that's the power source. Amen? He said, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me. Now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter, catch this now, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. So many times we're wondering, God, what are you doing? And God's saying, your faith will make you whole. Your faith will bring provision. Your faith will make a difference in your life. And that's why it is so important for us to develop our faith. Let's look at more. I don't want to talk a lot yet. I want to share some more scriptures here. Because when I was reading these, I don't know about you, but it was building my faith up. It was not just building my faith up, but, you know, sometimes God has to get on us, right? And I'm like, wow, this is so powerful. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 says this. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood far off. And they lifted up their voices, and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was, that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, there's so many good nuggets in this, but I'm just going to keep going. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. What's the next phrase? Your faith has made you well. See, so Jesus is saying, when I come to the earth, am I going to find faith? And then he goes through all these, I'm reading all these situations, the woman with the issue of blood, the leper, and just the woman who was forgiven of her sins. He's saying, your faith, our faith has got to connect, amen? And he gave us the way to walk in faith. He showed us the way to walk in faith. Let's go one more before I go into that. Verse 35. Luke 18:35. I'm sorry. Okay, you guys are good. Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging, and hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. So they heard. This, you know, the woman with the issue of blood, she heard that Jesus healed. This guy, this blind man, he's hearing that Jesus healed. And they're telling him he's blind. They're saying he's wanting to know what's going on. And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. So immediately he knew, he heard that Jesus would heal. So in verse 38 it says, and he cried out saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more. You know, sometimes we're so, we're not passionate about receiving the promises of God. We're just like, well, I know God, God, will you heal me or whatever. They told him, they said, you be quiet. And he said, and he just cried out louder. You know, because a lot of times people that are walking in faith, even people in church, will just kind of, well, you know, they're kind of radical or they're extreme or we need to be extreme in faith. We need to be extreme. He cried out saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet, and he cried out all the more, verse 39, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? Isn't that amazing? This is a blind man. Jesus knows he's blind. But Jesus wanted to know what he wanted. When's the last time you told Jesus what you wanted? When's the last time you told God what you wanted? What do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. And what else? What did he say next? Your faith has made you whole. See, they told him to be quiet. But he was like, no, I heard that Jesus healed. I'm going after my healing. I'm going after my provision. I'm going after my family being saved. I'm going after my future by faith. Amen? And I love the next verse. And immediately he received his sight. Say immediately. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. It says immediately the blood dried up. Immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Notice, when they saw it, they gave praise to God. His faith made a difference. This man's faith, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. You know what this man's faith did? Not only did it make a difference in his life, but it caused all of those people to bring glory to God and bring praise to God. Amen. When God shows up, when we put our faith out there and we see the miraculous and we see God's provision come and we see healing and we see our people get saved and we see God move, it brings glory to God. We have been conditioned so many times to, many of us, to we want to piggyback on somebody else's faith or somebody else to pray for us, to lay hands on. And honestly, all of that is good and well, but there comes a time when we have to grow up and understand that we have been equipped, we have been empowered, and our faith will make a difference in any situation when we put it to work. Amen? We've been equipped. We've been empowered. We don't have to rely. It's great when somebody lays hands on us. It's great. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But you know what? We got to grow up and start believing God for our miracles. And honestly, faith takes it. I'm not talking about that tonight, but we're going to be talking about that. Because every time I've received something from God, I took it like I wasn't hoping it was going to happen. The times that I received things by faith, I believe that I received it and I had it. You got to take it. And a lot of times we're living in hope. We're finding the scriptures and we're going through the mechanics. But it's a whole nother ballgame when you step out on the water and you take it. And when it happens to you, you'll know. You'll know what to do. And you say, well, how do I know when to step out on the water? How do I know, how to operate in my faith? When you begin to study faith, recently many of you heard about God speaking to us on the way back from California about faith and teaching God's people faith. Well, I was praying. When you pray over things that God speaks to you, and a lot of times even prophecy and things that people speak to you, you got to receive them by faith. Amen? You got to fight the good fight over those prophecies to see them come to pass. But I was praying, and I was praying over the church. I was praying over, just different areas. And the Lord, just like the Holy Spirit, just spoke to me. And he just kind of brought me the picture of faith, like the way when we came back here, we didn't have anything to stand on but faith. When I think about it, it was just true faith. And if I hadn't cut my teeth on faith, I didn't know anything else. And some of you were born, those of you that have gotten saved, you're learning faith. Amen. And I think about, everything we did when we prayed, we called people in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We did it faithfully. We called the seats filled. We would pray, and from everything from our first typewriter, tells you how old we are. We got our typewriter by faith. I mean, we wrote things down. Getting into our houses that we got into, everything. But it was not like we were not. We didn't have an internet. We didn't have an iPhone. We didn't have things to steal our attention away, is what I'm trying to say. And the Lord just brought the picture. I mean, we were so engulfed in learning about faith in the books that we had. We didn't have YouTube. We had some 3 o'clock in the morning TBN shows and Vicki Jameson Peterson. And what I'm trying to say is, it was all that we had. But a lot of times when other things come along, our faith starts to wane. And we start depending on other things or looking to other areas or this. And we talked about this, Pastor Ed and I, and the Holy Spirit said, do what you did at the beginning and you'll see this church explode. Do what you did. Go and get, call the people in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I mean, it was not even like, it was everything that we put. And honestly, in the process, you might say, in the process, we lost a house. We were young and stupid, and we bought a house and lost it to bankruptcy. And I know a lot of people don't like to hear that, from their pastors, but somebody said, if you don't buy a house, people aren't going to believe you and they're not going to stay. So you got to buy a house so you can prove to people that you're going to stay. So we said, oh, we better go buy a house so people will believe we're going to stay. How stupid was that? And then we had to fight the battle for our daughter just to live and not die. But if we had not engrossed ourselves, if we had not saturated ourselves with the word of faith, with the word of God and teaching and the scriptures, I don't know where we would be right now. But as life goes on and things happen, you get away from things. And I'm not saying we're always walking in faith, but it wasn't with the same intensity. And I knew when God spoke to that day when the Spirit of God came on us to teach the word of faith, it wasn't just to teach his people faith. It wasn't just about the legacy. I believe the next generation is going to take the message of faith in such a greater way to this world. I believe there's going to be signs and wonders and miracles in a greater capacity as we press in. But it was also even an instruction for us. And so, man, we got to obey God. So I went and I got all the old books that I really learned faith on. And I pulled out, some of Dr. Cho's books. That was something that really changed our life. And all just and a lot of the other books. And then I just started pulling out scriptures on faith. That's why I was going through the New Testament. I'm like, I can't believe how much Jesus talked about faith. And I'm just confessing on us, but I'm just telling you, like, it's not like we were just totally dislocated, from faith, but it was like, you get back on this and you'll see a change, because I don't like looking at empty seats. And I was talking to God about that. But we'll see them filled by faith. We'll see them filled because we try to do everything. We do outreaches. We need to do those things. We do outreaches, and we're trying to do all the administration right. God, the Holy Spirit just showed me. We're building a good staff. We're building lead, and we're supposed to do that. But it's faith that's going to build the church, because unless God builds the church, amen, that brings God in on the scene. And it's the same thing with you building your life, building your home life, building your life with your children, building your career, building your whatever it is that you're building towards your future. Faith will build your future. Amen? Say this: I make the difference with my faith. If I asked you today, what are you believing God for? What scriptures are you standing on for that? Would you have something? Would you have something like that? I said to Pastor, I said, because you just kind of, you're thinking about what God has done and so far, and I said, we've come this far by faith, but we got a whole lot further to go. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know what? You might think, I've been depressed. I've been down, things like that. We've gone through all of those. We know what you're going through. We've been there, but it's faith that pulls you through. It's faith that pulls you through. When we were renting old churches, when we had people yelling at us, the word, when we had people telling us to go back west, after our daughter was born, they're like, you got to get out of here, But you know what? Our future depended on our faith. And your future depends on your faith. Your health future, your financial future, your success in your career. Your faith can bring you where you want to go. Your faith can do the impossible. Your faith will bring you where God wants you to go. Your faith will do that. But you need to work on your faith. Amen? Faith is like plugging into almighty power, believing and trusting God. Faith is the currency of the Spirit, the currency of heaven. It's what you deal with. When you go to the store and buy a loaf of bread, your cash is your currency. But when you're bringing the promises of God into manifestation, it's your faith. That's your currency. That's what's causing the manifestation of it. Jesus told all those people, your faith made you whole. Those scriptures that we read, and he said, when I come to the earth, will I find faith on the earth? Hallelujah. Faith establishes the promises of God in our life. Let's look at Joshua 1:8 again. We didn't look at it tonight, but we've looked at it in the last few weeks. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then who? You will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You make your way. Amen? Who makes your way? You make your way. You make your way prosperous. God is waiting on us. He's waiting on us. We're not waiting on him. And sometimes we have to be careful. Well, we're waiting. We're waiting for this move of God. We're waiting. God is co-laborers with us. He works with us. He moves. He looks for his word. He moves where his word is being spoken. He moves where his word is being believed. Amen? It says he's co-laborers over and over. Jesus, he said people ought to always pray. Why does he want us to pray if it doesn't matter, if God's just going to do what he wants to do? Why do we need to pray? Why do we need to ask? Why do we need to believe? If God's just going to just do what he wants to do, he's not schizophrenic. He's not crazy. He's saying, I want you to pray because when you pray, I'm showing up. I'm looking for faith. I'm looking for faith on the earth. Over and over, Matthew 18, 19, all the prayer scripture, we are co-laborers with God, and he's looking for our prayers, and he's looking for the prayer of faith. And some people say, well, Pastor Judy, it's so busy, and we're in the 20th century, or are we in the 20th century, 21st century? I don't know what century we're in. What century are we in? 21st century. You know, it doesn't matter. God's word's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And those that will step in faith will see the mighty power of God. And many people have seen it. In Matthew chapter 17, look at this. Verse 15, somebody comes to Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. And then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? I mean, Jesus was upset. He was upset with his disciples. They said, here's an epileptic and he's falling into the fire people have been brought to us and we haven't been able to see the devils. And there's times we have, but God wants everyone set free, amen? So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from the very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, what? Now the disciples, they had been healing. They had been, Jesus was training them. Remember, he sent them out two by two. They had saw Satan fall. They had seen signs and wonders. But why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, here is Jesus talking about our faith again. He's saying, why could we not cast him out? Because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible. Nothing will be impossible. Nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, for years, we read that scripture, and we thought, well, we can't cast the devil. We can't cast this devil out. We got to pray and fast. We got to get ready to pray and fast and cast this devil out. And we thought, you know, how could we do it? But that's not what Jesus was talking about. I remember when I first learned this, I learned it from our pastor, Shalvia Tiemens. How many remember that? And I remember her teaching on this, he's not talking about casting the devil out. He says here, he goes on, he said, because of your unbelief. And he said, this unbelief comes out by prayer and fasting. Jesus prayed and fasted for 40 days. He was ready for that devil. Amen? And he cast out, but he got upset at the disciples. He said, how long am I going to be with you? Jesus said, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Just a little mustard seed. See, if I'm to go where God wants me to go and accomplish what he wants to accomplish, it is not on him, but it is on me. It is on my faith. And Jesus said that we can have mountain-moving faith. I'm not going to that scripture tonight, but he said we can have mountain-moving faith. He said if we have faith as a mustard seed, we can move a mountain. Even when Peter walked on the water, I in my head I'm thinking, I can't believe Jesus said that to Peter when he fell. He said, Peter, come. And Peter got out and walked on the water. Wouldn't you say it took a lot of faith? But then Peter looked at the circumstances and began to sink. And Jesus said to Peter, oh, ye of little faith. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. Faith is important in the kingdom of God. Jesus went to the cross by faith, believing that he would be raised from the dead and he would have many sisters and brothers. Amen? It will be our faith that will activate the kingdom promises to bring to pass what all the things that God has promised us. You know, in life, we can choose to face the issues of life with frustration, with fear, or we can face them with faith. We make a difference when we choose faith. Listen, God said in Timothy, it says, we had to fight the good fight of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God. The children of Israel did not inherit because they did not mix the promises with faith. I mean, it's just over. A lot of times we teach on the scriptures in Hebrew and faith in the epistles, but when you go through the gospels, it's just Jesus is talking about faith all the time. Say, I make the difference in my life with my faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Amen? Everything we do in the kingdom business is by faith. Amen? So are you ready to go to work? Are you ready to put you? We're going to be talking about it for weeks. We're going to help you and encourage you. But get some, you know, if you're going to, you know, I was going to bring some books, but I didn't get a chance to tonight. But hopefully next week I'll bring a bunch and just, you can pick what you want on faith. But get, you know, we look at everything, and I'm not saying I love listening to the word. If you go, and whether you're watching the Victory Channel or you're watching YouTube and other, there's so much to listen at. People are all over the place. It's just giving you a lift for a moment. But what if you work on perfecting your faith? I'm going to believe God. I'm going to write down the things in this life that I want to do. Maybe you want some personal things, but maybe you want to be used spiritually for God. Maybe there's some spiritual things in your life. And then we have to feed on the scriptures and feed on the word and just start believing God. A lot of our believers are kind of, you know, they've gone down the thermometer. They're not high. We're kind of just kind of going along. We love God. We're going to church. We love to worship you, God. But I am telling you, when you see God show up, listen to me. This isn't a God. You've heard a lot of my testimonies. This is before I got saved. And the worship team can come. I'm a sports lover. I love sports, and I've gone to many games and whether it's baseball, basketball, football. I just love sports. And I was a real avid Red Sox fan. And when they lost the World Series in 1976, and I would go, I went to a lot of games. I dated this guy, and we were just, that's all we ever did. We went to games, or we were watching them on TV or something. And anyhow, it was the World Series, and we had seats over the Red Sox dugout. And I loved Rick Burleson. Anybody remember Rick Burleson? Anybody? They called him the Rooster. He was a shortstop. And they lost the World Series, and he was broken on the news. He was so broken and just really crying, and you know, it was they just, it was crazy, you know. Bill Buckner, you know, messed it up. But anyhow, we'll just go on with that. Nobody knows what I'm talking about anyhow. But anyhow, I wrote him a letter. I felt impressed. And I said, I'm going to write him a letter. And I'm going to just really encourage him. And in the letter, I put, you did great. And then in the letter, I described, I'm the girl that was over the dugout with the big, I had these big hats on. I don't know why I had them on, but I had a big hat on. And I don't know if you, anyhow, one day I was home. I was stayed home from work that day for whatever reason. And I was blow drying my hair. And I didn't tell anybody I wrote that letter, because they're going to say, you're a dork, you know? So I didn't tell the guy I was dating. I was dating a couple of guys, but I didn't tell anybody. So I answered the phone, and he says, hello. And I said, hello. And he says, is Judy there? And I said, this is Judy. Who's this? And he said, this is Rick. And I said, Rick who? And he said, Rick Burleson. And I go, all right, Tom. You know, like, I'm just like, and then he goes, no, this is Rick. This is Rick Burleson. And then I go, okay, Billy. You know, because they were just friends, you know. And he goes, no, this is not Billy. This is Rick Burleson. And he goes, I'm calling to thank you for the letter you sent. And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. I'm on the phone, you know. And he goes, so he says, so what are you doing? And I go, I'm blow drying my hair. Anyhow, it was a great conversation. And I don't know if he was going to say, let's go have coffee or something. But I was just out of the loop. God had another plan. Amen. But when I got off that, I knew. I was like, nobody knew that I wrote that letter. Nobody. I was like, why would I say that? You know, okay, Tom or Billy or Harry or whatever. But that's what it's like when God shows up. You know, you've heard the testimony of the chocolate carpet in the 3-bedroom house. I mean, nobody knew I was praying that. But God brought it into our hands. So many things I can tell you that I didn't tell anybody, but God would show up. When you begin to walk by faith and you're putting your trust in God and you're believing God for $1,000 to pay off a bill and you're not telling anybody about it and you're going before God and you're using your faith, kind of like when Matt and Mari had CBN come on. How many of you ever heard that testimony, the legacy testimony? That was God, amen? That was God. When God shows up, you stay on fire for God. You don't have to ever say, oh, I'm so dry and I'm so weak. Man, when God starts showing up, because you know, you start building this relationship with him. When my mom got saved, it was through prayer. And I couldn't even invite her. She was so mad at me. But God made a way. I believed that she was going to be at church that night. That was crazy, the way God created it and caused her to be there and get saved. I'm telling you, that's why we got to start working. We got to start believing God and walking by faith. When we got in that building in Abington, I'll never forget the feelings I felt. They were very, very scary, but I would not allow those things to come out of my mouth. I just said, I thank you, God, that we're going to be in that building on September 15th. I remember that date. That's your guys' anniversary, huh? That was the date that we had our first Sunday at that church building that we believed God for. I'm telling you, I've been there, and you know what? Even I'm pressing in. So you guys, it's time to get to work and time to press in. Let's use our faith. Let's study faith. Let's believe God. Let's watch him show up in our lives. Amen? Hallelujah. Some of you can start with your physical health. Start putting it to work. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God.